And I want to get right to our next guest. Again, I've anticipated this for months. He's the president of the Family Research Council, which was formed in 1983 as a not-for-profit educational institution in Washington, D.C. In 2003, he became the president. Family Research Council has experienced tremendous growth and influence. He also served as a two-term state representative in Louisiana, ran for the United States Senate in 2002. He authored and passed the nation's first covenant marriage law to address the instability of marriage. He's my good friend, Tony Perkins, and I'm so proud to introduce him to the great TBN family. Tony, welcome. We're so glad to have you. Tony, we November 2004 seems like a decade ago. But I believe, and I believe you do too, that a tremendous door was opened for believers as a result of what happened in that election. Talk to us about it.
Many felt like we won on election day. We didn't win. Down south, we'd say it was the time trials. We just placed.
Yeah.
Now we're in a position to have influence. And I was meditating on that the days following the election. And in my prayer time, the Lord led me to Joshua chapter 10. Remember the story where Joshua, they were pursuing the armies of the five allied kings. Mm-hmm. And he prayed, "Lord, let us finish this battle." And the sun stood still.
Yeah.
And gave them an opportunity. I believe what we're seeing in America today is the sun has not yet set on this nation.
Praise God.
But we have a responsibility. Joshua's men, it's interesting, I encourage you to go back and read that chapter 10 of Joshua. They were actually going to help the men of Gibeon. They were not fighting on their own behalf. They were fighting for others. We're fine. Everyone here tonight, we're fine. I'm going to go home. My children, they're going to grow up knowing about Jesus.
Right.
But you know what? Not every child in America is going to know about the Lord.
That's right.
And we've got a government that judges that are slowly but surely taking away the right of our children and the right of the church to tell our children.
Mm.
And we've got to do something about it. And the men of Israel, they marched all night long. They fought all day. And that's exhausting.
Yeah.
That's exhausting. And we felt like we have done a lot in this past election. And I've talked to many of my friends in the church and pastors who, in an unprecedented way, and I want to thank you, Pastor Rod, for your work in the state of Ohio and in encouraging other pastors. I've been working with pastors for years, and I love you as pastors.
Yeah.
But you are some hard people to work with.
That's
brother.
The truth. That's
it's
the
been slow in getting these passed. But let me tell you what, the pastors are now moving.
They are.
The Lord has gotten a hold of their hearts, and they're standing as they have never stood before.
You know, Tony, I believe that's as a result. I think pastors are historically down on what they're not up on. And I think they've been intimidated.
Absolutely.
Because they weren't informed. And that's why we need great institutions like the Family Research Council. I want to tell you right now, a whole lot of what I learn, I go right on that website and I learn at the Family Research Council. And I thank God for what you're doing. And it's informing pastors. You know, we're afraid of what we don't know. And
we've been beaten down.
Yes.
Pastors have been beaten down by the media and by the culture, made to feel like they're not relevant. Let me tell you what, if there's one thing that's going to turn this nation around, it's pastors.
Amen.
While we'll talk about the political issue, we're going to talk in a moment about the judicial issue. But what America needs, and you touched on it before with Bishop Jackson, a great man of God.
Yeah.
We must have revival.
We have to have revival.
And if we're going to experience revival in this nation, it's the spiritual leaders that are going to lead this nation into revival, then reform, reformation, must take place.
That's it.
If we're to survive as a nation.
That's it. God spoke to me and he said, "Don't you dare go out and speak on any political issue in any other context than when you gather people together and give them an opportunity to say yes to Christ." Because I believe it's the greatest opportunity of evangelism we've ever had in this country.
Absolutely.
A reformation is on the way.
But it's going to take God's people, and it's going to take God's men of God standing up, women of God standing and leading the congregations. You know, we want to talk about the judiciary,
yeah.
And I want to get right to that because there's a lot of...
There's a lot going on right now, and one of the reasons, and I appreciate you accepting my invitation, is because a lot of times I'll say, you know what, I need to get up on this issue. So I go to Tony. And I say, Tony, talk to me about this. Explain this to me. All of us can pretty well understand that Jim should not marry George.
Yeah.
And Susie should not marry Betty. We can pretty well get that. But when we hear terminology on the news like judicial tyranny and what's going on with the filibusters in the Senate on judicial nominees, please educate us.
Well, it's real simple, Pastor Rod. Back when our country was founded, the founders had this this great, I think, God-inspired idea that you have three branches of government. Mm. You have an executive branch, you have a legislative branch, and a judicial branch. Mm. And they created the judicial branch as a third branch. In fact, they saw it as the lesser of the three branches of government. They were not elected by the people. They were appointed by the Congress. And, and by the way, it was only the Supreme Court that was created by the Constitution. The lower courts are a creation of Congress. Mm. Now, let that sink in for a
minute. The lower courts are a creation of Congress. In other words, what we saw happen in Florida, those judges, those judgeships, those courts were created by the Congress.
That's right. The federal courts, those lower courts, are created by the Congress. Now, who's greater, the created or the creator?
I don't know if anybody heard that.
Yeah.
Now, who is more important? You would think that the courts, they think in their arrogance, and this, you mentioned this at the beginning of the program about Terry Schiavo.
Yes.
What Congress did, and the president... I believe the president, Tom DeLay from Texas, Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, they acted responsibly.
Yes, they did.
They acted in a very reasonable way.
Yes, they did.
And this is what they did. They simply said, look, there are enough circumstances surrounding this case that it merits to be looked at anew. The judge, a probate judge in the state of Florida, for 4.5 years had sat on this case. There were questions being raised. They said, look, we want the federal courts to look at the facts anew. We don't want them just to look at the judicial procedure.
Right.
We want them to look at the facts.
Exactly.
What did the courts do? The courts thumbed their nose at two other branches of government.
Yes, they did.
Our courts are in a persistent state of arrogance.
Yes.
And we've got to do something about these courts. Well, let me give you a little history lesson here. Back in 1803, there was a court case that led to newfound power by the courts.
Yeah, here.
They began to grab power.
Now, wait a minute. We started off with this.
We're growing.
Yeah, we're things are increasing here.
There was a case, it was the Mulberry versus Madison case, where the courts began a new process called judicial review.
Mm.
They began to question the executive and the legislative branches. That was never envisioned by the founders. So all of a sudden, they started throwing out laws and orders passed by the executive branch. As a former elected official in the state of Louisiana, I tell you, I passed a number of laws overwhelmingly through the legislative process, signed by the executive, only to be thrown out by a federal judge. Let me give you one in particular. It was a bill for the first time in the state of Louisiana to provide regulations for abortion clinics. You know, abortion clinics in this country operate with less oversight than most veterinary clinics. You realize that? There were women dying in abortion clinics because of, in this one, we documented rusty instruments, unsanitary conditions. We went in, we were able to get footage of this. We showed it. I presented it the first time in the legislature where video was used to show this. Mm. Overwhelmingly, the legislature passed it, but a federal judge overturned it.
So the will of the people and the will of the people as expressed through their elected representatives gets totally thrown away.
That's right.
It gets totally ignored by one judge.
That's right.
Now, a president is elected for 4 years, 8 if he runs for a second term. A senator, United States senator, for two years. A United States House of Representative member for, no.
Senate for six.
Senate for six and House for two. So 4, 6, and 2. What about these judges?
Lifetime. Lifetime. You have judges that will serve 2-3 decades or more. And we talk about specifically the Supreme Court. There has been a tremendous power grab by the Supreme Court, and this is where we stand today. The court has supersized its perception of itself.
Yeah.
And let me give a couple of facts. 1962, prayer was removed from the public schools.
Right.
1963, Bible reading and reciting the Lord's Prayer was taken from the schools. 1980, the Ten Commandments were taken out of our schools. 1985, a moment of silence was banned from our public schools if the children were encouraged to pray. 1992, clergy members, pastors who came to a church to pray for graduation, outlawed by the United States Supreme Court. 2000, the year 2000, prayer at football games of high schools was banned by the United States Supreme Court. 2004, states were authorized to discriminate against scholarship funding.
Right.
If a student chose to get a theological degree, the state could refuse to fund them if they funded others. And then 2004, the Supreme Court took a pass on whether or not the Pledge of Allegiance was constitutional with the phrase, under God.
Now somebody join an Eastern Kentucky boy and just one time say, that ain't right. Okay, something has to happen here. I found a marvelous quote the other day. It's in this book here. Silent no more. Listen to this. The court, in addition to the proper use of its judicial functions, has improperly set itself up as a third branch of Congress.
Absolutely.
Third house of Congress. A super legislature. We have therefore reached a point as a nation where we must take action to save the Constitution from the court and to save the court from itself. We want a Supreme Court which will do justice under the Constitution, not over the Constitution. We are a nation, a government of law and not men. That was 1937, and President Franklin Roosevelt is the one that said it. Bring us up to date on what's going on right now concerning nomination of judges to fill these posts. I understand that the United States taxpayers are spending $5.1 billion a year on the federal judiciary. What they're paying for are filled benches. Mm-hmm. What they're getting are empty benches and filibuster.
What's happened, Pastor Rod, is as we just talked about these issues, it is clear that the courts are out of step with America. And the liberal mindset has been driven from the legislative branch. It's been driven from the executive branch. And the last bastion of this anti-Christian, anti-really American
yes.
viewpoint is in the courts. And so there is a radical minority in the United States Senate
yes.
that is doing everything they can to preserve this anti-Christian, anti-American philosophy in our courts. And the way they're doing it is by denying the president an up or down vote on his judicial nominees.
Everybody go like this.
Yeah. They're not even voting.
No.
They're not even voting. This is what's happening. Unprecedented, a judicial filibuster. Now, filibusters in the Senate have been used before. They're not used in the House. It's a parliamentary procedure in the Senate. But it's only been used in the past on legislative issues. Only rarely has it ever been used for a judicial nominee. Now, the Constitution says that the Senate shall advise and consent with the president's right. judicial nominees. How can they give advice and consent unless they vote one way or the other? And they're simply refusing to vote. This is how it works. Only in Washington does it work this
yeah.
way. To vote, to approve a judge, you only need 51 votes out of the 100 votes in the United States Senate.
Everybody say 51.
51.
Okay.
Now, in the Senate, you have to have 60 votes to vote to get 50. Now, does that make a whole lot of sense? That is what they're doing. It's called a cloture vote, and you've got to have 60 votes to end a filibuster to vote when you only need 50.
So the filibuster is they read out of the phone book. They keep this thing going, the debate open. It takes 60 votes to make them stop the debate and vote. Is that right?
Technically, that's it.
But it only takes 51 votes
to win. Wow. And now every one of these judicial nominees, and let me clarify something real quick. You will hear them say, well, there's been dozens of the president's judicial nominees have been approved. That's true to the lower courts. But at the important appellate court level, which is just one step below the United States Supreme Court, they've been filibustered. They have not had a vote up or down. And let me tell you why. Many of these people, it's because of their positions, because of their faith, and because of their position on the issues that they have been targeted by this radical minority in the United States Senate. One of Bill Pryor from the state of Arkansas is Catholic. He's very strong pro-life, and he has made statements to that effect. And Charles Schumer, a Democrat from New York, has said his deeply held, quote, deeply held religious views challenge his credibility as a judge.
Okay, what can we do?
Well, this is what we need to do. We need to speak to our United States senators that we need an up or down vote. And there's people on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention, if you live in a state where Senator Snow or Senator Collins, or in Pennsylvania with Senator Arlen Specter, who is the chairman of this important committee, they need to support the president's judicial nominees, Senator McCain, Senator Hagel, Senator Chafee, and Senator Warner. Now, one other thing. This is absolutely critical.
Oh.
I mean, we've worked together on marriage. We've worked on these other issues, and those are at the forefront. And I've spent most of my public life working in the defense and the promotion of marriage. If we lose the courts, friends, we lose the nation. Now, we've got to take a stand on this issue, and I believe in a very short period of time, there's going to be a showdown in the United States Senate. And there is it's going to come a time to cut or fish or cut bait. And they have got to vote to support what's called the constitutional option. It's simply restoring constitutional order to the United States Senate, and that only 51 votes will be needed to approve these judicial nominees. Now, on Sunday, April 24th, we're calling it Justice Sunday, where we recognize that it's time to stop this filibuster of people of faith. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you to go to our website, www.frc.org.
Yes.
We're actually going to have a nationwide simulcast that night, churches all across the country joining together to pray together and to take a stand for justice in this country and stop this filibuster of people of faith.
Amen. And how many of you learned a whole lot you didn't know? I want you to know right now that you can find information at frc.org. Go there. Write it down somewhere. I do it all the time. And I want you to get involved in these issues. Can we just bring Debbie up? Can we go ahead and do that? Let's go ahead and bring Debbie up. And we'll sing at the end. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
We got a nation hanging in the balance. Have you enjoyed the Honorable Tony Perkins tonight? Would you like to have him back on TVN? Let's have him back. Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much.